Ladies and gentlemen, we are here live in person. Tyler, you look handsome today.
Thank you. You too. I like your hat choice today.
Yeah, thank you. I showered this week. My wife was happy about that. Today is Toe Rig episode 201. We did a 101. Today we're talking about kind of like that next step. We're going to go over like three major things.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited for this episode. And the reason we're doing this episode is because
the first one was
our Toe Rig 101.
Wow.
Blows all of the other episodes out of the water by like
you guys
double.
Like that one. You guys like towing. You guys like using trucks for how they're supposed to be used.
Who would have known a whole bunch of diesel guys like towing with their trucks.
Holy moly.
Mind blown. Anyhow, we're looking forward to this episode. Make sure you check us out on Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud. Leave a review. 5 stars only. If you leave 4 stars, I'm going to hunt you down. I'm just kidding. Yep. Maybe 5-star reviews.
For real, though. 5 stars only.
Yeah.
That's all we accept.
5 stars only. Screenshot that. Send it to BenedictsOfPowerProducts.com or TylerDictsOfPowerProducts.com, and we'll send you a t-shirt, a dank meme, and a handwritten note that'll make your butt crack sweat. Who?
Yes. Or make your wife really awkward when she reads it and opens the box wondering what you ordered.
Hell yes. This is America's Diesel Podcast.
America's Diesel Podcast. Here
brought to you by Diesel Power Products and two awkward dudes with beards.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyhow, so Toe Rig, throwing pens all over the place. Toe Rig 201.
Yeah, 201.
201, yeah. I'm going collegiate courses here. We got 101, 201, 301, 401. And today we're pretty much going to focus on three things. But we're going to do a quick recap of 101. If you didn't hear it, you should listen to it. It's a great episode. But we're going to kind of give you those, like the main gist of what 101 was. And I think the biggest thing we can take away, actually two things. One, usable, reliable power.
Yes.
Huge.
Yeah.
If you're towing with your truck, you need to have usable power.
Absolutely.
If you put huge injectors with a stock turbo and your EDTs are through the roof, you've now just made your truck into a non-tow truck.
Yeah. I mean, the whole point of building a proper tow rig is being able to, you know, do these modifications and then not worry when you're towing about, oh man, I can't push the go-go pedal down that far.
Yeah.
We're going to have a problem if I go further, you know, past here or go on this power level. I can't use that. Like, no, that's not building a usable tow rig. That's, you know. And we tell guys to build your truck for what you use it for 90% of the time or 95% of the time. I mean, and you can still have fun. And that's the thing too, with a tow rig, with a properly built tow rig, you'd be surprised at how fun it is to still drive.
Yeah. You can still rip that thing. And a lot of times, like if you like sled pulling and you build yourself a really reliable tow rig.
Yeah. You can go sled pulling.
You've now like low key just built yourself a like
work stock rig.
Yeah. Work stock rig. Like local, you could be a local hero.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And especially, again, if it's reliable, if it's built right, you can sled pull it on Saturday, tow on Sunday, and do it all again Monday.
I mean, absolutely. That was good.
That was. That rolled off.
You should write that down.
I should write that down.
So, usable, reliable power. And then I got a couple other points in here. Obviously, EDT control is key. Planning, just like everything in life, plan ahead. Be realistic, be prepared. And this one is the one we hammered home really hard last time.
But it's...
What's the magical word, Tyler?
Compounds.
Compounds. I'm going to whisper right in your ear. Compounds.
Let's whisper sweet nothings in your ear when you're listening. Everybody, compounds. Compounds. Seriously. If you guys are building a tow rig, there's really, as far as a turbo setup, I don't think there's a better way to go.
Yeah. They are as magical as everybody says they are. Yeah. There's a reason why everybody says, oh, build a competent tow rig. Compounds.
Yes.
It, magic.
Yes.
So that being said, if you want more on kind of like your tow rig 101 stuff, make sure and check out one of our previous episodes. I don't remember what number it is, but
Did you say nine?
Yeah, maybe like 7, 8, 9 right in there, something like that.
I think it was before 10.
It was before 10, yeah. We'll call it pre-10.
Pre-10.
If it's not, then crap.
Oops.
But you can find it because it's there. All of them are listed. Anyhow, so today I think we're going to focus, basically, I wrote this down and I'm not going to go away from it because I feel like I did a good job writing it.
You did,
so,
actually.
We're going to focus more on some other stuff. We kind of talked about the truck, but let's kind of talk about, we're going to cover three topics that really are going to make your towing experience as safe and, aside from the terrible English here, as goodest as possible.
Yeah. Enjoyable.
Enjoyable. The bestest. I was trying to find a really good descriptive word there, and my grammar was just
hugely.
Down. Hugely. Bigly.
Bigly, hugely.
Bigly, hugely. And those three things are EDT control, being prepared, and exhaust brakes.
Yes, exhaust brakes.
Right?
Yeah, and it's, you know, most of the newer vehicles, anything really that's got a VGT turbo, and, well, I wouldn't say anything with a VGT turbo because, I mean, you got Duramaxes and some Power Strokes that don't come with exhaust brakes, obviously. But anything, I would say most trucks 2007 and newer or maybe I should say 2009, because some of the early forwards and Duramax didn't have them, but they come with them. But you can get them on,
yeah.
And it comes, but they come with them from factory. And
right.
What they're doing there is just utilizing the VGT as the exhaust brake. So an exhaust brake. Which we'll go into that actually.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm jumping ahead of my list, dude.
I wrote this
follow,
list.
Follow the list. Jeez.
Anyhow, and so the first episode we did talk about how paramount EGT control is. We're going to talk about how to like do that and what parts can help you there. Not necessarily just parts, but I'd say mentality.
Yeah.
And making sure that again, being prepared and being realistic.
Yeah.
That you're not shooting yourself in the foot.
And this is one of those things too, where all those little things that make a difference, this is where they all add up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we'll go into that and you'll know what we're talking about when we go into some of these parts that we're going to talk about here. So,
yeah, I think probably before we even, or not even before, like as far as EGT control goes, how to mitigate your EGTs. Step one, know what they are.
Yeah. Exhaust, gas, temperatures. Yeah.
I want to get my EGTs down. Well, what are you seeing right now? I don't know. I don't have a gauge. Well,
how do you know they're high? Like, no, EGTs, it's basically too much fuel, not enough air.
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially what's going on there. So we've either got to cut back the fuel or we've got to increase airflow, whether it be turbocharger, whether it be freeing up airflow from some restrictions that you have on the engine. And that's kind of where your list kind of starts.
Yeah.
Which is
so
intercooler.
Yeah. Step one, know what they are. Step two, intercooler.
Yeah.
If for some reason you're towing really heavy with a truck that doesn't have one, which means you basically have like a first gen or an OBS 7.3.
Means you should get one.
You should really get one. They're actually not as expensive as you think, and you should really put it on there.
Especially for the 94 to 97 Power Strokes, that Banks kit, I feel like that's such a bang for your buck.
It is.
And that's not even like, Banks did not pay me for this. And yes, I do have a Banks turbo kit on my 6.2, but they, trust me, this is a, you know, they didn't pay me for this at all. But it's a huge bang for your buck. I mean, you get intercooler. The piping that comes in that kit is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, before Banks kind of stopped us, we used to sell that piping individually, like just pieces of it, so guys can make their own intercooler kits, because mm-hmm. their piping kit was just so nice. But I mean, I think it's like $1,500 or right around $1,500. You get the intercooler, you get the piping, you get everything to put it
intake on. Intake manifold hardware, and instructions, the template to where you got to trim your core support. Like they think of everything.
Yeah, and it fits great. Fits awesome, and it works awesome.
And
so,
it works, yeah.
Yeah, if you're not intercooled and you're going to tow a lot, definitely look at getting an intercooler. And if you, I mean, you know, if you have an intercooler, there's a lot of room for improvement on quite a few trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Short of, I will say there's the one truck that has like a pretty awesome intercooler from factory is the 94 to 02 Rams.
Yeah, it's
intercooler
huge.
Is huge.
Yeah.
And it's strong. And it's like, I mean, I remember like Kip at Industrial that has that little race truck. He ran that stock second gen intercooler forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can make good power with that. So it's not like I would always recommend it, of course, but it's not like a need. Whereas, like, I can't remember the exact year of Common Rail Cummins, but there was a Common Rail that had a super thin one. It was a plastic intake
like
one.
03 to 05
it was terrible.
Or something like that. Like terrible. Early-ish 5.9 Common Rails, I think. Yeah.
So, there's definitely any time or any truck that has an intercooler currently, you can definitely improve upon that. Another one I want to mention real quick. Not that I'm trying to talk too much here.
No,
but
do it, man.
The BD. The BD extruded intercooler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember one time ATS, which we just had ATS in here, but he had mentioned that the guys at ATS even said that BD had the best intercooler out there because that, and then they ended up stopped making theirs because BD's was so good. So
good job, BD.
But they do that extruded honed.
Mm-hmm.
Is it extruded honed? Is that the
extruded
verbiage? Extruded. Intercooler.
Honed?
It's basically the, instead of just having like your regular tube and fin, each of those tubes has been like, the way I always explain it to customers is like, you remember when you were a kid playing with Play-Doh
mm-hmm.
and you would force that Play-Doh through and make like the shapes and make like a really long, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the same thing. They're pushing those metal bars through an extruder and they're basically making inner and outer fins on each of the tubes. So it's mm-hmm. even more surface area for cooling. So as far as cooling goes, BD is killing it in the intercooler game. And if you don't have an intercooler on an 94 to 97 Power Stroke, check out that Banks kit. That is such a screaming deal.
I thought that I didn't need one on my 96. And then, because I was like tuned and like a couple of little things on there.
Like,
thought,
oh, you're good.
It was hopped up and it was cool, right? And then I lined up next to another truck that, mm-hmm. or say another OBS that was intercooled and not tuned and it walked me.
Yeah.
And I was like,
intercoolers make a difference.
What the hell?
Cool, denser air. You can pack more in and the engine's just going to run up.
Yeah.
Heck of a lot more efficient. and dropping EGTs. Again, EGT control. That's what we're kind of working with.
Mm-hmm. So as far as if you didn't have an intercooler, make sure you add one on there. Other air restrictions, intake manifold. Make sure you get an intake manifold on a truck. Yeah. That's applicable.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat my words a little bit there. Super Duty 7.3 guys.
Yeah.
Intake manifold, unless you have bigger injectors, that intake manifold is not going to do you a whole lot of good.
Yeah.
Just because it's not moving enough air.
Yeah. I mean, it really isn't. And then, I mean, you'll hear that too with like the Cummins guys doing the intake horns. But again, if you're looking at the bigger picture, if you're doing a lot of these things, if you're going to do like, let's say you're, well, you have that down two more. So we have cold air intake and charge air piping. But if you're going to do all those other things, again, all those things adding up is going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I agree and disagree at the same time. I mean, there's always room for improvement, but again, with the 7.3, as far as what air it's moving, I would think a 5.9 Cummins moves a little bit more air, so it may be a little bit more beneficial doing an intake on that. But yeah, every little bit counts, and that's what it's all about as far as when you're controlling EGTs, and it may not seem like a lot when you're looking at that one part and looking at the specs of that one part, but trust us, when you add all that stuff together, it's going to make a difference.
Yeah. When you add that together with, you know, colder intake and then your actual charge piping, you really start adding it all together, get the grid heater out of there, and just really try and move as much air and have nice smooth transitions as possible.
Yeah.
No boost leaks or anything like that. If you see your stock tube is kinked and it's, you know, not doing you a whole lot of good, get it out of there, get a new one in.
Yeah. And since we're on like intercooler or charge piping too, a common one that I just want to bring up too is on the 94 to 02 trucks, what's really common on those trucks is even though their intercoolers are great, just like we talked about, but on the lower intercooler hoses, the little transition hoses they're called, it's like a 4-inch to 3-inch 45 degree angle. There's a pinch weld from the body that rubs on that hose, and you'd be surprised at how many trucks have blown intercooler boots that are in the lower and the people don't even know it.
Oh.
So it rubs against that hose, and it happened on my second gen when I had it. So if you guys are if anybody's out there with a second gen that thinks they're low on boost, check those lower boots, and you'll be surprised. You'll see that body it's like a pinch. I think it's a pinch weld. I have to look at it again. I can't remember. It's been a while, but it's like a pinch weld that just rubs against that boot and it'll blow a hole right in it.
Hmm.
So yeah,
there you go. There's your
boom.
There's your second gen fact of the day right there. This podcast is worth it.
Yes.
Yes. And so moving forward with that, I think the last two are probably usually not thought about. One of them I consider a last resort, but we're going to skip that one for the moment.
I consider it a last resort, but I want to bring up something. It's kind of cool, and especially on newer trucks. So let's go to the last one, then we'll go back to that.
Okay. Right. So bumper selection.
Bumpers.
You've got a big-ass bumper on the front of your truck, and it's blocking a whole bunch of airflow. You've now just essentially hurt yourself. All of those things that you did before, your intercooler, your charge pipe, your intake manifold like that, you put a big giant bumper with a whole ton of light bars on the front. You just took it all away and made it worse.
You just blocked all your airflow.
Yeah. It's not a good day.
No.
So bumper selection is going to be huge. And the new, is that 13 and up Ram trucks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intercooler in the bumper. not in the grill.
Take that and then put a really big, solid, big piece of metal in front of it.
Yeah.
Really
one
helps.
Way to really screw up your EGTs is to block all the airflow trying to help you with your EGTs. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at bumpers. I mean, there's, excuse me. I mean, pretty much any bumper company I would hope would take that into consideration that they're putting the intercooler down there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you never know, especially some do-it-yourselfers out there, maybe not thinking of that or not knowing that the intercooler is down there.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a bad day.
Yeah. The next one is actually, it is a fixer. I consider it sort of a last resort. It is kind of cool though.
I would consider it a last resort. But when we're talking with trucks with emissions, one really cool thing that WaterMeth does, which I haven't like firsthand tested, this is just like all from reading and researching on what it can actually do, but WaterMeth will keep your EGR system cleaner.
Yeah.
I mean, they've kind of proven that it will, which the way things are going nowadays with performance on these trucks, we're keeping emissions intact. Why not? You know, why not throw that on there and keep your EGR system clean? I think it's, 60,000 miles or something for an EGR clean on a truck, which I mean, that system inevitably will get packed full of crap and you'll have to take it off and you'll have to clean it. But if you can add something that'll lengthen that time span or even just lengthen the lifespan of the EGR system, WaterMeth may do it.
Yeah.
keep it clean.
The only down with it is it, you do have to, it's a consumable.
Yeah, so it's you gotta keep feeding it. Yeah.
So that is kind of a downer, but
it does kind of go through it kind of quick. I mean, if you're gonna get one and you're gonna tow with it, I would highly recommend going with at least a 7-gallon tank.
Minimum.
Yeah. Because I think this is going all off of memory. I think a 7-gallon tank with a guy using it regularly should last about 250 to 300 miles if you're using it like all the time.
Yeah.
So,
and they even have actually really cool controllers that are like Boost and EGT
referenced. Yeah, the Snow Performance kits are pretty awesome. We have some Banks kits as well. I only have experience with the Snow Performance kits. Mm-hmm. Like, we had it on Brian's truck, one of his old mega cabs. We had it on.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cool. I've seen 80 horsepower on the dyno with water methanol.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Cool thing is, you have to, it is a consumable. You do have to keep buying the water meth, but you can get it at Walmart.
I mean, that's true.
As long as you could use washer fluid, which is, I think, like a 60-40 mix. As long as it's the non-glycol washer fluid, you can inject it and you can use it. And there's a lot of guys that'll just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, even, us here, we, Brian, that's new, but, we bought a 55-gallon drum of just pure methanol, and we mixed it ourselves with water. So, I mean, there's a couple ways you can go about it. I mean, it's fairly cheap, but yeah, again, last resort. Or if you again want to try to keep your EGR system clean, why not give her a try?
I'd be more interested to try it now after talking about that.
I think we should talk to. Well, this will go into the next episode that we're talking about something else. Never mind. Never mind. I've said too much already.
We'll bring that up later.
I've said too much.
So now we talked about EGT control. Let's talk about, maybe you might not get into this until after you're towed or just general what you've getting out there, but being prepared.
Yeah. You usually get into this after the first time you towed and realize that you're not prepared.
Yeah. And it's not just like a mental thing. It is a mental thing, but it's more so like making sure you have the right tools for the job. We've had episodes on tools. We've had episodes on stuff to bring when you're off-roading. Me and Ash did. It was actually a really good episode. And this applies to towing as well.
Yeah.
And the point I want to make with that is that if you're towing with your truck, you may not always be towing the same trailer. You may not always be trying to accomplish the same thing with the trailer. You may tow an RV. You may have a flatbed. You may have just a normal cargo trailer. And the equipment that you would need for your RV or your camper, totally different than you would need to haul cars.
Oh, yeah.
So making sure that you have that stuff with you or with the trailer all the time is huge.
Yeah.
And going through that mental checklist. So I went through some stuff, and I'm sure once we start talking about these, you'll probably
think of some more.
Start thinking of some more. I think my number one is actually going to be number three on the list right here. Mm-hmm. But my number one thing is spare tires, not just the tire, but a tire mounted on a wheel with air in it.
Yeah. I mean, the only way you should not have, like, the only way you can get away with not having a loaded tire with air on is if you have an air compressor. And as long as the tire is mounted, obviously, trying to mount a tire on the side of the road is probably not the funnest thing.
No.
I mean, using a can of ether and a lighter, things might get a little crazy, but absolutely. That's huge. Huge.
It seems like a simple thing, but it's big.
How many times you drive down the freeway and see a trailer just all by its lonesome with one tire gone, with one
that's
wheel off.
That's a bad day.
Yeah.
It's a bad vacation. That's hard.
Yeah.
You know, and moving along with that, an extra wheel bearing and grease in the tools to change one. You should always have, you know, properly maintain those things. Obviously, if you put your trailer away for the season, you bring it back out, go through and make sure everything's good, replace them as needed or whatnot. But having one with you, just because things happen. Maybe a seal blows off or something like that, and now you've cooked a bearing, and you're in, but you know, you're on the grapevine or something like that.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, well, maybe you should, and the tools to replace it, and the know-how to replace it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's huge. I mean, again, you see them all the time. Trailers just sitting there by their lonesome, just parked on the side of the road for something, for like literally a $25 part.
Yeah.
Another thing on that, as far as use bearing buddies when you can. Those little guys are handy.
Yeah, where they pack
it. It's like the hub you put on the end of the, well, it's like a cap you put on the end of the hub that's got a little grease fitting in it. You just, I think I'm pretty.
Tyler's just dropping a whole bunch of knowledge I had no idea about.
Yeah, little bearing buddies.
I'm used to just pulling a cap off.
Yeah. No. am I right? Yeah. Bearing, I think, that's what they're called, bearing buddies.
Probably.
Yeah.
We could probably.
I had them on my boat. That's all I remember that, yeah. But
good idea, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one on here, a jack.
Mm-hmm.
The factory jacks on any truck suck.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a trailer, you should have enough room for one.
Yeah. And you know what I've seen a lot of guys doing with their trailers is getting like a truck toolbox and just like mounting it to the front of the freaking trailer, especially if you don't have a winch or something that it's, you know, going to be blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Put a little truck box on there and put all your stuff in there.
Yeah. That was actually one of the things I think, I've been on that. The second page, lockable storage.
Yeah, absolutely.
The beautiful part about that is it's not like, okay, I got to grab my toolkit for this trailer and put it in my truck. It stays there.
Yeah. It's the old saying, what is it? Better have and not need than need and not have.
Yeah.
Just load that baby up with everything.
You may end up having to buy 3 pairs of gloves because you have one in every kit, but guess where you always have gloves?
Yeah.
In your kit.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Absolutely.
And that goes along with like gloves, headlamp, wheel chocks. What else do we have on here? Oh, straps.
Yeah. The one that I would really go with is a freaking jumpsuit. How many times are you towing something and you have a problem and then you're like, you're like dressed to the nines, ready to go out or something. You kind of go like redo something on the trailer. You're like, oh man, I don't want to get my nice jeans all. even like on the ground or something.
It's an extra layer of protection. We talked about that one of the older episodes, but like body management while you're working on a car or something like that. And I keep a jumpsuit in the Suburban or even in my excursion that I did. Yeah. And
I probably should keep a jumpsuit.
It's like a 2XL Dickies jumpsuit I got for like $10 or something like that. It's not super nice, but it's that extra layer. You know, you're broke down on the side of the highway and the road is hot and there's lots of gravel and stuff like that. Have an extra jumpsuit.
Or like right now, wintertime, mm-hmm. snow, puddles, I mean, slush. I mean, you're going to be soaked. I mean, unless it's waterproof at this point, but I mean, yeah, it's definitely, that one I would definitely, I will keep if I have a trailer.
I used my jumpsuit when my starter went out on the excursion and it was literally snowing in the parking lot. And what I do, I put my jumpsuit on, I got underneath there with, you know, had my winter coat on underneath and everything like that. So it was nice and warm.
Yeah.
Kept the snow off me.
Yeah. The next one you have on there or two down, the flat repair kits.
Uh-huh.
That is so handy. And they're so cheap. Just a plug kit. I mean, how many times have that saved me?
The ARP flat repair kit. They're like $45, awesome. But they will repair like a million tires, basically.
I've seen people, too, like repair some pretty wild holes in some tires.
Yeah, Ashford, one of our other sales guys here, has like stitched together a sidewall with ARP plugs and zip ties and stuff.
Yeah, when I worked at Dishman, I was a dealership. I remember we had this truck come in. I'm pretty sure it was like a bolt that was shoved into the tire,
mm-hmm.
and we stacked the tire plugs up. And hey, she was fixed.
Send her.
Send it.
Yeah. Air source, always a good idea. We kind of mentioned that before.
Yeah, whether it be something onboard or portable. I know me and you both have like just a portable air compressor. They work awesome.
Once I get an actual dedicated tow rig, I think I probably will put an actual air compressor on because I'll probably have airbags.
Yeah.
Which I want to need a compressor for. Other stuff that maybe you might also keep in your truck already, but having that in your kit, not a bad idea. A water, a gallon jug of water.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't, I would make sure it's drinkable. You know, just get like the crystal geyser.
Dual use.
Yeah, dual use. Yeah. You know, but ideally, you know, wash your hands or something like that.
Yeah.
Also, maybe, I didn't put this on there, but I was thinking about it with the water, a snack. Put a Clif Bar in there.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than like, being really hungry, trying to figure out stuff out, and you're starting to get hangry at yourself.
Your brain just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that
you need some calories. And granted, Clif Bars, I mean, they should probably last at least a year.
Oh, yeah.
True disclosure, I've eaten a Clif Bar when I was like 3 years old.
Yeah.
I'm alive. I'm okay. I made it.
I keep on forgetting. I got a Clif Bar in the Suburban in the center console that I bought like way before it even had the screwed up transmission. It's still sitting there, and I keep on forgetting it every time I come into work. I'm like,
that's now the emergency Clif Bar.
That's an emergency Clif
Bar. I wouldn't even mix that into rotation unless you need it.
Not even that. Exactly.
But that's, and I'm sure there's tons of other stuff that, I mean, if people want to comment what they found they really needed randomly. There's
zip ties, duct tape, whatever. I mean, may sound like something stupid, like, I'm never going to use it. You'd be surprised.
Did I say headlamp?
You did say headlamp.
Okay, headlamp. Absolutely. That's huge.
That's huge. Headlamp. Definitely. Don't use your, you know, new iPhone 10 light on it and then drop it and break that. Now you're even more frustrated.
Yeah. Or play the whole, hey, honey, can you hold this flashlight? And it's 10 degrees outside.
Just get a headlamp.
And she's already mad that you probably didn't do your right maintenance on your trailer.
Yeah, she's probably mad because you're buying some piece of junk that you put on this trailer that you drove 6 hours to go get. Now you're stuck on the side of the road. just get a headlamp. Just get a headlamp.
I think you just described like worst case scenario. It's my fear.
Sounds like a situation that's already happened.
Yeah. I love you, babe. Anyhow, so let's move on to exhaust brakes.
Yes.
Exhaust brakes are a big thing with towing, and you can really save the brakes on your truck and your trailer.
Yeah.
Hopefully it has brakes, first off.
Yeah.
We talk about being able to get moving and stay moving and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You've got to stop. You now are towing something that weighs more than your truck most times. You got to be able to stop.
Yeah, exhaust brakes. I don't know if I would have a dedicated tow rig without one. I mean... Yeah. It's just you're just putting too much stress on, your actual service brakes on the truck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just gonna waste through them. You're just wasting money. Exhaust brakes are so handy because it's something you can just flip on with a flick of a switch and you're done. You just let it do its thing. When you're off the throttle, it'll slow you down. Mm-hmm. Get back on the throttle, it stops.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just super handy. I mean, if you tow that, I would definitely do it. What's really cool, and people kind of confuse engine brakes with exhaust brakes, totally separate.
Mm-hmm.
Like engine brakes on like big engines, like semi trucks. I mean, they're actually actuating like exhaust valves to create a braking effect.
And that's why they sound so damn cool.
That's why they sound. I remember in school we had engines on just stands, right? Just it was we had like N14s, like old Cummins, just straight piped, like pretty much with a hood stack, and you turn on the engine brakes on that thing. God, that thing was insanely loud. It sounded violent. Uh-huh. Like it was just like pop, 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 like holy. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause the instructor would be the only one to turn on the brakes in the class. Cause we're in this like big shop. Right. And you turn on the jakes on that thing and that thing is just obnoxious.
Yeah. Everybody knows.
Awesome. But, what's cool is if you like that style of brake, guess what? You can get one.
Yeah.
On it's a called a low leash. Yeah. It's called a low leash from Pack Brake. Really cool. We just got one. We're going to be testing out here. So I'll let you guys know as far as how much of a difference it makes in comparison to just a VGT turbo. But yeah, there's some cool things as far as braking. Exhaust brakes are huge.
Yeah.
And just so you guys out there with VGT turbos know, if you want to do an exhaust brake and you have a VGT turbo and you don't have a Cummins, there's a lot of have and don't haves there. So you want an exhaust brake, you have a VGT turbo and you don't have a Cummins, you got to get rid of that VGT turbo if you want to put an actual exhaust brake on there, unfortunately.
Well, unless you can do the like electronic one on the turbo.
Use the one on the turbo, but if you want an actual exhaust brake, it's going to entail you getting rid of that VGT turbo, which entails a whole other slew of things too. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind when looking. Don't install one on a truck that's got a VGT turbo, like on a newer Cummins or a newer Ford or a newer Duramax. Do not put an exhaust brake on it. Just call us.
Yeah, we can explain.
For God's sakes, just call us.
But even for older trucks that don't have VGT turbos, you can go with a turbo-mounted exhaust brake or
inline.
You can go inline or something like that. And a lot of times they're air actuated.
Yeah.
They're actually Pack Brake and BD both make. Actually, Banks makes them as well. Really nice kits.
I'm pretty sure the only ones that are still vacuum operated are just for the earlier Cummins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
First gens, which are fine. Yeah, I mean, but I like the air actuated just because guess what? You get onboard air on the truck. You get an air compressor.
Two birds, one stone.
Exactly. And it's cool with like, especially like the Pack Brake, PRX B brakes.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a 1/2 gallon air tank. They give you like, what is it? Like 15 feet of curly hose and air accessories. Those things are, it's a great kit.
Mm-hmm. And the last thing with the air brakes too, is air actuated brake. They snap shut.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
Like really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice and for positive guys, feedback.
Yeah, and for guys with for that real big rig feel, for those guys with their manual transmissions, you can get a shifter mounted switch
or a little rocker.
BD has a little push pull, and you can get a Pack Brake little rocker switch.
Mm-hmm.
Real cowboy,
cowboy with their flatbed flipping jakes.
Your flatbed flipping jakes. Yeah. Yes,
that's probably like the worst terminology I've ever said in my life. That's a bad sticker.
That is so. Yeah, exhaust brakes, do it, do it.
One recommendation, actually, I'd say even just no matter what, if you're towing hard with the truck, and we mentioned this with a lot of other modifications too, get head studs.
Yeah.
If you've got a VGT style turbo in the truck and you're using that exhaust brake, your drive pressure and everything is going to go through the roof. Get headstuds.
Headstuds fall under that have and not need, the need not have category for sure. I mean, it's preventative maintenance. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to blow a head gasket.
Yeah.
Just buy the head studs.
Yeah. So exhaust brakes, there you go. If you have any questions on them, you can always call us. There's some people just, it's one of those things where a lot of people are really in the dark about exhaust brakes.
Yeah.
No offense to them, like not trying to be a dick or anything like that, but like they just like, well, I think I need an exhaust brake, so I should, but it's just a valve, right? Like, there's a little bit more to it. A
little bit more to it.
Yeah. But. So now we get to the fun part.
Yes. This is what I've been like trying to talk about this whole time and I stopped myself. Yeah.
So this is Tow Rig episode 201. We just recently got ourselves a new tow rig.
Yeah.
We did.
A dedicated tow rig.
Yes.
That's not going to go four-wheelering, except for in the parking lot. It's going to go in the parking lot and drop off the four-wheelering equipment.
So I was talking to Cooper today about it and what kind of like, obviously to get the specs on and what we're doing in parts and whatnot. And I was like, are we going to do any kind of like traction devices, like a locker or something like that? I was like, if I need a locker in this, something has gone terribly wrong. Then I have ran out of talent and I have messed up.
This is going to be the pavement princess at DPP.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like it when you look at it.
It looks really good.
She's wicked right
now. Yeah, she looks really good. Yeah. So spill the beans, and we're actually going to do a full episode on this one too, because I want to make sure people know what we're building here and want to see it work and hopefully we can put a lot of content out for it. But we got a 19 Ram 3500 dually manual.
Woo!
Last year of the manual.
Last year we had the manual. Which I'm actually kind of devastated that nobody else is doing a manual transmission. Because that, for guys that tow, a manual. Like, what's up? Like, I get it. Automatics are nice. But for guys that tow, like hot shotters and like, I'm pretty sure they like manuals better. I mean, I don't know. I like a manual better if I'm going to tow.
Yeah, absolutely. You have more control.
Yeah.
So, and it feels kind
of sad.
Cool.
It's sad. But we got one of the last. So, yeah, we're going to be doing some cool stuff to it. It's all going to be stuff that you can purchase right off our website.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything crazy or custom, no weird cutting or, you know, check out this modification. Nope. Everything is literally, you can go on our website, purchase this stuff, and you can do this exact same stuff to your truck.
Yeah, absolutely. So, teaser on that thing. It's got a lift. It's got bigger wheels and tires.
It's white.
A dually, and that's all you get to hear
for now.
Yeah, it's gonna be actually really cool though.
Yeah,
so that wraps up kind of like our towing 201 episode. I think there's a lot of good information in there. Make sure if you haven't heard 101, check out 101.
Yeah,
that's
definitely right now. That's our most popular episode, so hopefully this will build on top of that. And check out all our other episodes too.
Yeah,
a lot of good info.
Yeah, like we mentioned before, 5-star review, screenshot it, send it to Ben at DieselPowerProducts.com. Oh man, I am.
What's in
this beer?
I don't know. What do you got in there? So it's Ben at DieselPowerProducts.com or Tyler at DieselPowerProducts.com. We'll get you a shirt, a dank meme, and a weird handwritten note by us two that is promised to make a little upper butt crack sweat.
Absolutely. Well, that brings that one to a close. Another episode in the books. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.
See ya.